Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer.
I'm Addie, I'm one of the nurses at the charity. In this recording of one of our Facebook Live videos, I chatted to Rav, a dietitian at the Royal Marsden Hospital. We spoke about diet, which is something that so many people call us on the helpline about. Now, over to Rav.
I mean, anxiety is a big thing when it comes to diet and cancer. So we know that women who get diagnosed with cancer are going through a huge life change in the first place. And then along with that comes lots and lots of different information about diets, what people should be having, what they shouldn't be having, and people just don't know what to do. So it causes a lot of anxiety from that perspective, purely because people just get so much conflicting information. They don't know where to turn to for good evidence-based information. But then also it can cause a lot of anxiety in terms of their social life. So emotional situations can occur where families have different ideas about what people should be eating, and it can create a bit of conflict between families when everyone has a slightly different idea about what they should be having.
And what sort of things would you say to them if they are really anxious about the sort of diets they should be on? Or, for instance, we get a lot of calls on our helpline about women particularly who call and say, I've done something to cause this breast cancer. And the other questions are, what can I do to prevent this cancer coming back? Would you sort of...
The guilt aspect of things is one side of things. But at the moment, we don't know that a particular dietary habit has caused someone's cancer. So that's the main thing to bear in mind, is that although certain dietary behaviours might be linked to an increased risk, it's not necessarily the thing that's caused your cancer. So I think trying to take away some of that guilt is really important, and trying not to blame yourself is important. And then if they're thinking about making a dietary change, it's perhaps just looking at what some of the evidence is. So two of the big things that we see, or two of the big things that people ask me about, are dairy and soya, for example, and whether they should be cutting those things out of their diet. Now, lots of the evidence and small studies can be a little bit conflicting and can be a bit confusing.
That's right.
Often headlines will cherry pick small studies. Sometimes they're not even done in humans. They might be done in mice and not even apply to humans. So it's important to try to not get bogged down by what the headlines are saying. Because really the bigger studies looking at dairy show that dairy is probably neutral in the diet. It's not really associated with breast cancer risk. And if anything, it's probably protective. So women who are having maybe up to two portions of low-fat dairy in their diet, it might actually be protective against breast cancer. So that's important to bear in mind. And then the same with soya. Actually, the bigger studies show that soya is not linked to an increased risk of breast cancer, certainly in normal dietary levels.
That's good to know.
Things like supplements you might want to limit. So often people ask about soy supplements and whether they should be taking them to protect against breast cancer from the flip side. At the moment, the studies are quite small, and we don't really know how they interact with drugs like tamoxifen. So it's important to discuss any supplements that you're taking with your oncology teams. If you have access to a dietitian, then try to discuss it with the dietitian. But certainly there's no reason why we should be recommending people take supplements. And in terms of safety, it would be better not to take them whilst you're on other medications, because we don't really know how they might interact with your medication.
No, that's very sensible. And the other thing is that a lot of what we get asked are things like, so there's weight loss and how people manage that. And also weight gain, for instance, when they're having their chemotherapy, that can come as quite a shock and obviously quite upsetting for some people. So what sort of things do you sort of recommend for them, for those people?
So as you said, often it can be quite a surprise that you gain weight, because people are used to hearing about weight loss on chemotherapy. I think it depends on really what a patient is going through. So everybody's slightly different, and we would really tailor the advice to the person who was sat in front of us. So it can be difficult to give generalised advice, because often treatments are causing different symptoms. So if someone is having lots of muscle pain, or if they're on steroids, the reason why they might be gaining weight will be quite different. So I would just try and say the main things would be to try and look at things like your portion control, try and keep as physically active as you possibly can. So often people will become less active on treatment because of pain or because they feel they should be resting and recovering. So trying to keep active where you can and trying to use the resources within your hospital that you're being treated at is quite important. So if you have access to someone like a physio, then try to get in touch with them or try to get yourself referred to them if you need a bit of support. In terms of the diet itself, really just having good portion control, avoiding things that are full of empty calories. So these are the kind of easy wins that we go for. So things like sugary drinks, sugary snacks, or foods that are just empty calories that you don't think about. So things like extra sauces, syrups, honeys added to food that will add extra calories. So try and avoid those things because they're sneaking calories into your diet. So during treatment, it might be difficult to lose weight. And I think it's important to recognize that because we don't want people to think that they should be losing weight while they're going through treatment. We want them to maintain their weight as best as they can. And there's good evidence that you can lose weight after cancer treatment. So, you know, there's always time to make those changes afterwards. So if you're struggling whilst you're on treatment, remember that there's time to make those changes later.
So throughout our Facebook Live videos, anyone watching can comment on the post and ask questions. One woman, Gillian, said, "I've gained weight, which I find hard to lose. I'm on letrozole and I try to have a good diet and I exercise. Any help would be good." Let's get back to Rav's reply.
And trying to fill up on foods like fruits and vegetables. So we don't want people to feel very hungry and like then they're not getting all of the nutrients they need. So filling up on foods that are high in vitamins, minerals and fibre will help to keep you nice and full, but also make you feel like you've had a good full meal. So if you are trying to restrict how much you're having, then that's something to think about. And then some, I mean, if you're trying to restrict your calorie intake, then there are other ways that you could do it. So things like intermittent fasting diets. There's lots of research going on around breast cancer and intermittent fasting. So it may be worth thinking about some of those things. If you're interested, we can post some more information about it later.
Yes, because that's something, it's up and coming, but it's not very commonly known about.
There's a very good researcher who's a dietitian who's working in breast cancer called Michelle Harvey, and she has a diet called the two-day diet. So it's worth, if people are interested in that and they're struggling to try and reduce their calories every day, there's some good evidence that that diet can help you to maintain or lose weight without without reducing calories every day. So it's worth just having a read of some of her studies or her work.
Okay, lovely. And the flip side of that then is women or people that do lose weight with cancer, either through the treatment or just because of sometimes it's just the anxiety because they're diagnosed, for instance. What sort of things would you say to that, to them?
So essentially it's the opposite of what we said, bar the physical activity. So in terms of diet, I think people can often feel very worried that they shouldn't be having sugary foods or they shouldn't be eating unhealthily whilst they're going through cancer treatment. And the one thing I often say to people is what's healthy for you now is not what's necessarily healthy for you all the time. And it's about really going with what your body's saying. So if you're struggling, you're losing weight, then the priority is getting your calories in and getting your protein in, so making sure you're having enough energy to get you through your treatment and also so that you're not losing too much weight that you don't tolerate your treatment very well. Physical activity can help with that because often women will find that they lose muscle mass. So keeping physically active can help, and it can help with some of the side effects like fatigue and mood as well. So if they are very anxious, then it's worth.
And it can increase their appetite, of course, can't it? If you get out and about and fresh air.
And more practically, I would just say planning ahead and planning your meals is really important. So you may find that throughout treatment you're not able to cook, you don't have time to cook, or you just don't feel like it. So having those meals prepared, having snacks prepared and things ready to go so that you don't feel the pressure whilst you're going through treatment is another thing that you can do.
That's great. Oh, that's brilliant. So we've had a few other comments, mainly about struggling to lose weight with hormone treatments. you know, which I know particularly women who are postmenopausal find struggle with, particularly with, you know, when they're thrown into menopausal symptoms and they're on hormone therapy. Like you said, they have to bear in mind some of the dietary contraindications, really, to what they can and can't have, isn't it? So
But really, it is about just trying to have a well-balanced, healthy diet. So a diet that's kind of rich in whole grains, fruits, veg, and trying to limit things that are very high in calories. So that would be foods that are higher in saturated fat, full fat dairy products, and then, as I said, those kind of hidden, sneaky calories, so things that just add calories but don't add much by the way of nutrients. And certainly something like alcohol, which is very high in calories, so almost similar to the amount of calories you'll get per gram of fat, which often people don't think about. It's just adding extra calories into the diet. So limiting alcohol as much as possible, obviously bearing in mind your quality of life and what you want to do as well, because it is important to remember that diet's not just about your disease, it's also about your socializing, what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And it's important for the rest of what you're getting on with as well.
That's lovely. And if people are listening and want to be referred to a dietitian, for instance, if they've got particular needs that they think might be useful, how can they go about doing that?
So it would depend on the hospital they're being treated in or if they're post-treatment. I know at the Marsden, women can actually self-refer in, so it's always worth asking your CNS or asking your oncology team whether they can refer you to a dietitian. If you don't have access to a dietitian through your hospital, you can always be referred through your GP. So it's worth just checking with whoever your medical team is to see what your local pathways are like. But usually you should be able to get access. Most oncology centres will have access to a dietitian for their patients.
That's excellent. So we, Breast Cancer Care, produce a diet and breast cancer booklet. It's got lots of good information and some useful organisations at the back. There's our telephone helpline, which you can always give us a ring on. And I think you have a link to your the British Dietetic Association if people are more interested and want more information. And this is a massive subject to cover, and I think we're going to, what we probably will be able to do is come back and discuss it again if Rav doesn't mind coming back again, because it's you know, it's something that's really big, and maybe we can focus on some other
particular topics. It's a lot to cover in one 10-minute session.
So thank you so much. It's been really interesting, and giving your time, it's been really good. So thank you very much, Rav.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.